Unmute amadlomo.
Ulele.
Mute. Molo madlomo, mute.
Wow. Ewo. Namo deputy minister wam lo.
Asidlali kanjalo thina. Etinyanga yamakhulu.
Yo. Mhm.
Etinyanga yamakhulu.
Mhm. I think we must have a catwalk, honorable minister and
Molo Nusa.
Uyambona usihlalo.
Hey, ndinjongile ngathi yo, usihlalo usezicishile manje anisambona.
Eh hayi.
Ayi ayi ayi.
Usihlalo ukhupho olunyunyawo.
Hayi, kazwe ukhupho
olunyunyawo.
Uyabona i-Women's Month yiyo le kanye yamagugu. Ikwa i-Women's Month.
Izalo, izalo. Yona, yona Women's Month.
Cha, kodwa bekufanele nisixelele kuba nathi sibe nje.
Hayi, awulingathe ixelelwe baphathi. Baphathi
wena wena we need to tell wena mamkhawu
ibeshu lakhe ke silibona ibeshu namhlanje yonke lenyanga
bekuzasuke kungaveli six pack kuvele le nto
iRanti siyazveza nathi siyazveza isipejeje nathi siyazveza.
Good morning, morning, Mambogoto. Good morning.
Au. Domane. Domane.
Domane. Domane. Domane.
Domane. Domane. Domane. Domane. Domane. Domane. Domane. Domane.
Domane.
Domane. Domane. Domane. Domane.
Sizapha ekhayeni lale mini yenyanga yamagugu sesifikile.
No, you look beautiful. Sesifikile.
Yo, futhi uyi ngathi nomona ukuthi nibahle.
Hayi, ngathi nomona nje manje ngiqalele.
Ngikhuze
umntaka baphile
futhi. Njomane, bekumele ukuthi kushiwe namhlanje kuthiwe the addressing a code.
We can't say that umuntu ophethe isibebe akhunjuzwe
hawo ngehere khamba manje
khamba khaya khamba khaya yazi nonzaba undibhaqa ndiphendula isabhoko esikhulu sikhupha la mini yokubethwa kwebhisho Masaka bendisabhala ndithi ndandigcwele igazi abantu becimba nam ndichaphaze igazi nobuthongo abantu babelapha eduze kwethu sihamba nothonyane iimbumbulu
zazinguwe
kanye ndiyekile. Honorable members, our guest of today, let me take this opportunity to open this meeting of today. Oh, as this committee, and I'm suspecting as a parliament, every day when we're opening, we do open with condolences. And I'm suspecting since 2020 until this month, we are doing this thing every day. As this committee, as chairperson on behalf of our committee, I wish to pass condolences to the families of our own Honorable KB Maphatso, who passed on Tuesday whilst we were thinking that he's going to be with us. May his soul rest in peace. Also, Honorable members, our former member of this parliament, one of Zimbabwe's pass on, Honorable Magwaza Msibi, but also as this Lisebe, as this department, one of us, Mamunobe Sutu, get to Tumbatu, passed on. They may their souls rest in peace. Just a minute of silence. I thank you, Honorable Members. Honorable Members, also as this committee, Department of Sports, Arts and Culture, whilst we do have bad news, let's again say that we've noticed in our last meeting that some of our daughters and son, they made us proud. And today we are also saying that we do congratulate these son of daughters which are having medals, let alone that there are those who double the medals. That son of the soil, it's Ntando Mahlangu. But we must not forget that it was not only himself. We have other people, to Prissy, Kutse, Sally James, Waze. We do also have about 2 gold medals, to make it 4. We have silver, we have bronze. We are proud of you. We wish that coming back, as yesterday we've seen the Minister of Sports and the family and the sports fraternity at large welcoming some of you at the airport. Honorable Members, as was saying that today, Lusuku Lokokuba Masi Biose, Ukukalela Gumsla Ukala, Okukuba Linyanga, Inyanga, Yamakuku, Inyanga, Yokuba, Sikakazeni, Sizibonise, Imvela Pietu. Lena Kendungumazlo Moke, Dingwebe Esapa, Ekaya, Isambatu. Ndibendinelungelo lokunxiba kwiveke ephelileyo esasemampondweni, bendinomqhoboka apha phezu kwentloko, namhlanje liqhiya. Ndimbonile udeputy minister, ndiyambona umama uMakhawula, andikaboni ibhesu, andikaboni enye esinxibo apha, kodwa ke siyandikhumbuza. Singxamisile. Ndiyanamkela nonke bantu abamenyiweyo kule ntlangano yamalungu epalamente ekomiti zemidlalo, cubeko namasiko. Namkelekile nonke. Ngokunjalo ndizawucela i-apologies, let alone that the ministry, they do forward apologies to our administrators, but to me, I know that the minister is attending the NCC, the deputy minister is with us, but the deputy minister is going to present a department and our good selves to a memorial service, a mama, Wama Hotel Queens. So, this is our okomgqakhwe usidla ilifa. Imini yaloo nto namhlanje uba masiwathethe amaqhalo wethu. Xa ndenza kanjalo mandingene ke nditsho okokuba apha phakathi kwethu sineentloko zesebe ezikhokhelwe ngumama unocawe uNonzaba Mafu ehamba nakazawuthi asixelele ubuhamba nobani. Ndivulile lo mhlangano ndisithi ndithi dakaqa inkqubo yanamhlanje i-agenda. In front of us we're having this agenda that now we're putting on the screen. In this agenda is a proposed agenda, but I must tell this committee that I'm 100% sure that we are all presented in the programming committee as different parties. We know that as this committee, this is our last meeting, irrespective of our program, which was supposed to be followed because of political parties of parliament. They've said yesterday and revised the program. Let me also tell you, I didn't put in the agenda that the information that I did get from the speaker, a letter from Honorable Mhlongo, I was not aware that we're not going to have any other further meetings until November. I did ask information from the department. The information has been circulated. Honorable members, can you, I'm proposing that you must take this agenda with you and add or subtract.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Honorable
Madam Chair, would I like to apologize first, Madam Chair?
Okay.
We have Madam Chair, we have an apology from the Minister, as you have already stated.
And point of order, Chair?
Yes,
we're supposed to adopt the agenda first before we go to apologies. Now, I move for the adoption of the agenda. We never adopted the agenda.
Thank you, Honorable Thank you, Honorable Mamabulo. The agenda now is already adopted. We must talk on the agenda. Apologies.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We have an apology from Mr. Mandingo Zwe, who is not well, and Mr. Silisi, who has a bereavement in his party. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. I'm suspecting those apologies must be accepted by the committee unless there's one who's saying that doesn't accept apologies. These are apologies, Honorable Members. Apologies accepted. Honorable members, now let's give
Chair,
DM.
Chairperson, apologies, Chair.
Yes, Honorable.
Just for housekeeping, Chair, is Mr. The member you went with in Japan, is he still our member? Because I see this is a second consecutive meeting, there's no apology from him.
Who's that? I don't know who member I went to Japan with. Does that person have a name? Who's that?
Apologies, Chair. Utatu Knox.
No, Honorable Member. You wanted to remind us that we did go to Japan. Yes, we did. But Honorable Knox, last week I did tell that Honorable Knox is no longer with us. That's why I've said on Tuesday last week, we have been joined by Honorable KB. May his soul rest in peace.
I noted. Thanks, apology. Noted. Thank you. Apology.
Apology accepted. Now I'm giving the DM to take us to.
Thank you very much, Chair, and good morning to the Honorable Portfolio Committee. And I hope that even though Zoleka didn't read my
We don't hear, please try to, I don't know what is going on, maybe. I don't want you to switch off your video with this picture, but now we don't hear you clearly, Madam DM. We don't know what's going on. Thank you, DM.
Can you hear me now?
Clearly, DM.
Okay. Thank you so much. I was greeting the members of the Portfolio Committee and saying I hope my apology, even though Zoleka didn't had already spoken to it, it's accepted that I will leave halfway into the meeting because I'm going to the memorial service of Mamnet in Jimmyston. Today, Chair, you can hear.
Yes, DM.
Okay. Today, as the Department of Sport, Arts and Culture, we come in front of you to do what is we are expected to do, to account and for the members of the Portfolio Committee to be able to be given enough information so that they are able to do their oversight optimally. We are coming to present to you the fourth quarter report and performance and the finances of the Department of Sports, Arts and Culture. The Director General of the Department, Mr. Mkhize, together with his team, will lead this presentation. We will come in towards the end to, after the members have asked for questions and clarities, to come and do some summary. But otherwise, we are here, Chair, to present the fourth quarter report. Thank you so much.
Thank you, DM. Sukvile Nonzaba. Babu Mkhize.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and honorable members of the Portfolio Committee of Sport, Arts and Culture. Good morning, Honorable Deputy Minister, the leader of our delegation. Good morning to my colleagues from the department. Just to indicate, Honorable Chairperson, who do I have from the department? I have all the DDGs here present. DDG Chikwatamba, responsible for Program 1. DDG Sumaya Khan, responsible for Program 2, which is Recreation Development and Sport Promotion. And then DDG Kumalo, responsible for ACPD, Arts, Culture, Promotion and Development. And then DDG Ndima, responsible for Program 4, which is HPP, Heritage Promotion and Preservation. Those are the DDGs. And then we've got the Chief of Staff, who is here present in the meeting. And then I've got also the representative from the Office of the Deputy Minister, also here in support of our presentation. We are here to present the fourth quarter report as well as the first quarter report. And the fourth quarter report comes at the time when we were dealing with the year of COVID, and therefore then we're presenting a year which was highly impacted by COVID, including the lockdowns, hard lockdowns and soft lockdowns. I will ask that the presentation, please can you then put it on a slide presentation? Rodrick, slide presentation. So the purpose of the presentation, then the outline will be to indicate the purpose and then the introduction to the presentation and the performance overview of the quarter as well as the comparative analysis for all the quarters up to the fourth quarter, and then we come to the program specific performance, as well as then the acting CFO here present with us, Mrs. Bongile Mondile, will then take us through what is our state of expenditure at the end of the fourth quarter. We then move to the next slide. Please, whoever is moving with the slide. So the purpose is just to then present to the portfolio committee in line with oversight responsibility on the performance of the department for the fourth quarter of the year 2020-21, in line with the laws that require accountability and enable the committee to do oversight to the best of their ability. This slide of introduction is just to indicate the challenges, Chairperson, the context and the environment in which we're operating. Please, let's move slide 4. And I will proceed, honorable members. I'm not sure what's happening with the slide, person. So, and then we are indicating in our introduction that we do have a challenge that we were operating under, and that is the challenges of COVID-19. And we are sharing with you the impact in this regard, that firstly, we do work with the departments as well as various strategic partners at the provincial level, sector organizations, and performing arts institutions in implementing our tasks. Now, this work and this delivery agents, such as the provinces, will always be driven by the core mandate of the department, which is social cohesion and nation building, which encourages people to come together and to share common spaces as we create a clearly a non-racial democratic South Africa. Now this does not necessarily then encourage social distancing. That is where we are putting the emphasis on the impact of COVID-19. That the sharing of common spaces where people get together had to be impacted by issues of social distancing and other protocols, health protocols that we need to adhere to. So in this regard, then what resulted was that most of the work could not be performed or be done by the various sectors. Hence, we had to come and have the revised APP targets when we came, due to the nature of our work. We also provide financial support for the activities of sport and recreation to the delivery agents, who will then organize mass participation and sport development programs once we have provided them with the grants and transfers. Now, these bodies unfortunately also face the same problem of the national crisis of COVID-19, and then the schools themselves, where we mostly would depend on their availability, they had to close. But also programs such as artists in schools were also then affected, and the installation of some of the flags in schools and the tournaments that we would normally have were severely affected, Chairperson. The relaxation did happen. However, it did not help as much because we still had to adhere to the conditions of social distancing. And schools, when they returned, they still had to face what we call a curriculum prioritization. And that is what they then had to focus rather than the sporting or cultural activities. So this then led to the scaling down of our services in the delivery of our mandate, but also that some of the planned medium-term outcomes were then affected either by delays or then the projects had to come to a stagnation while they had already been initiated. This then did not spare the professional athletes and the artists who have suffered hardships of economy or loss of income, resulting in a need to have this relief efforts being put in place. However, due to the devastating effects of the COVID-19 in this sector, the creatives as well as the athletes continue to suffer severely and face serious hardships, as I have indicated, as they could not practice their craft because there were gatherings were restricted, and therefore they have really been at the receiving end of this painful period that the country has faced of the pandemic. If we then move to the next slide, we are then indicating, Chairperson, the performance that we have planned for quarter four. If we look at that overview, we achieved 78% irrespective of the challenges we were facing. And then the red color marks the targets that were not achieved, and which were 8, and that is 22%. We then go to the next slide that indicates which targets were not achieved during quarter four. Out of 37 targets that were planned for the quarter, we have the following: the number of services modernized, the number of heritage legacy projects implemented, as well as the number of provincial resistance and liberation heritage routes, sites developed and managed at a provincial level, and then the number of capacity building projects financially supported, number of moral regeneration movement projects financially supported, the number of social combat and monitoring reports, and the number of gender-based violence and femicide programs that were to be financially supported, and the number of artists placed in schools during the year. These are the targets that were not realized and they could not be achieved during this quarter. There are 8. How did we perform in the first quarter as against, in the fourth quarter as against the other quarters? We then share that with you in indicating that in the first quarter, you will see, Honorable Chairperson, that we had the highest time, because this was during the hard lockdown, and that we could not achieve almost 76% of the target. However, during the relaxation and the rest in ATP, you'll see there was improvement that we're able to claw back and achieve 83% of those targets. And then in the third quarter, again, we dipped at 65%. And then in the fourth quarter, we were able to then achieve that 78%, as I have indicated, Honorable Chairperson. Now, if we look in each program and its targets, maybe because of time, Honorable Chairperson, we just to go through program one, as I indicated, and where we're dealing with administration, and they were able to achieve 80% of their targets, in other words, 4 out of 5. And then program two, 83% of their targets, and then program three at 67%, and then program four, which is heritage promotion, they had achieved 5 out of 5, which is 100% of their targets. Now, what did each program had to achieve, Honorable Chairperson? Program one, as I indicated, they achieved 4 out of 5. And we just outlined briefly what this program covers. And it is quite a big program, Honorable Chairperson, currently under the startup structure. So it's quite huge. It deals with issues of ministry management, strategic management and planning, corporate services, as well as office of the CFO and the office accommodation. This is just meant to make sure that the department functions, that the wheels are turning. That is the main function of this. So this program also then did not have much of any challenges about budget adjustments, because it is just minimal. Instead, we were able to receive money for the PPEs in order to deal with the issue of COVID-19, which was placed under this program. Chairperson, I will not go into detail, just to highlight the target that was not achieved, as we had indicated, that we had planned to modernize 2 programs, and those services were not then achieved during this quarter. And those services were modernizing the Southern Geographical Name System, as well as establishing the Department of Borders and Culture Call Center in order to respond to the citizens efficiently and timely, particularly when the creatives and the athletes, and as well as those that we service beneficiaries, would like to raise their concerns or follow up on what they have submitted. Now, the reason for this is that the project team had delays from the supply chain management when we had to advertise this tender. As a suitable provider will then be have to be appointed, and the project will then be implemented in the following year, which is 2021-2022. And then that was the recourse. And then the call center, we needed to work on a number of consultative processes around the issue of a call center and its placement, because it is a new creative way of responding to citizens. And they needed to also provide for a budget as we deal with the issue of the call center. So we could not achieve this center, this call center to be fully established. Currently, we do have a mini call center that focuses mainly on the services rendered by Program 3, because that is where most beneficiaries are being assisted and supported who are coming from external. For to save time, maybe I should not go into detail with the programs that have been achieved, but I can get guidance from you whether I should go to each to the achieved target or not. So the next target was then the number of this was target was achieved. We had one target for the quarter, and that was about awareness campaigns. Activated to profile the work of the department, and that was targeting the human rights, which is in March, and this was done. And then we had the percentage of invoices paid within 30 days. This is a mandatory function that we must make sure, as an obligation, we are able to pay the service providers within 30 days. 588 were processed within 30 days. And that is 100%. And the same then with the issue of boards that are fully functional to make sure that entities are working, also they're all working. Program 2, which is recreation development and sport promotion, chairperson, this is dealing with mainly four sub-programs, the Winning Nation, the Active Nation Sport, and the infrastructure support. And this, Honorable Chairperson, are the programs that I will not go into detail because of time, but just to say that the Winning Nation deals with high performance athletes, and we try to look after, for instance, the ones who have been going to championships, including the sport academies that must be supported, as well as the issue of the national school sport championships that we need to get the best talented athletes in the country. And then we've got Active Nation, and this includes, among others, the issue of facilitating opportunities for people to share spaces. We provide equipment and attire as well to the hubs, to the sporting hubs, as well as the clubs. And this also then leads to development of talented athletes as they move to the level of the Winning Nation component. Honorable Chairperson, the sport support talks to the sub-program that deals with real issues that all of us want to see happening in sport, so that all participate equally and they all who have talent are nurtured and given opportunity to excel. And that is what we regard as transformation output indicator that we need. And we look at this and working with federations as we report on it. But we then also provide financial support of 12,652,000 rand. Infrastructure support is in relation to provision of the gyms in the communities, so that the children can play parks and be able to be gainfully utilizing their time after school and or during the school, but also the communities to live a healthy lifestyle. And then the implementation of heritage legacy projects that help us to transform our heritage landscape so that it is not dominated by apartheid era special outlook in our heritage. So these are the targets, Chairperson. We had 20 to achieve, the number of athletes supported through scientific support program. And that the target was 40, was 20, we're able to get 20. And then the number of athletes supported by the academies, the target was 925, we're able to get 1,504. And then of course, the number of sport creation promotion campaigns and events, the target was one, and we implemented a ministerial outreach program on the sport promotion campaign and event that was held. Then also the target of a number of people actively participating in sport creation and promotion campaigns. The target was 2,300. We surpassed the target by 78 at 2,378. Number of people who are participating actively in organized sport, the target was 2,500, and they were able to achieve it 19,274 actively so. This assisted with the, due to the opening of the sport activities in February, and hence maybe the target was surpassed. People were quite hungry to participate and be involved after serious challenges of lockdowns and then controlled movement due to the COVID regulation. Further is that we then also had a target of a number of schools that were to be provided with equipment and attire. As we indicated, that one of the key issues here is ensuring that there is transformation. And we know that where there is no equipment, there is no attire, you cannot really expect our children to be able to participate effectively in sport. Hence, then the 2,548 schools, hubs and clubs were provided with equipment and attire. And this is a crucial, as I've indicated, to ensuring that learners are able to be involved in sport and do not feel belittled or undermined when you don't have your own attire, you don't have equipment, you can't play. So this is quite crucial. The next one is about the sports percentage of sport bodies. Meeting the 50% or more of all the prescribed charter transformation targets. These are the targets that are aimed at ensuring that federations deliberately have programs to achieve transformation at all levels, from management to players, to the athletes, to the equipment that they provide. So it is a target that is monitoring whether they are able to meet their own self-set targets and in line with the charter also. So it's both a barometer target and a charter target that we look at here. So they are saying here there are 19 federations that have to subscribe to the charter transformation target. And these are mainly the big ones, federations like cricket, swimming, sport, and boxing. We look at all those that we think we have to start to, though we've got more of the federations in the country, but these 19 were prioritized. So only 16 of these federations were then audited, of which 63% achieved 50% of the target or more, and of the 60% of the prescribed transformation targets. The further 14 federations that were audited achieved more than 50% of their self-set barometer targets. As I indicated, that there are two levels of measurement that we look at here, charter targets as well as a barometer target, which are the offset targets. Then the number of community or municipalities provided with technical and management support target was 35, exactly 35. And then number of community gyms and children play parks constructed target was 10, and we're able to achieve the 10. And then the number of heritage legacy projects implemented target was 2. Implementation of the two legacy project is still underway. The reasons for deviation here, Honorable Chairperson, firstly is that we must note that the department does not implement for itself this project. We rely mainly on DPWI. So Sarah Bartman has had enduring, painful, historical failures to get it implemented and completed. Project that was supposed to be done in 3 years seems to have been now still not completed 8 years later. And there are a number of interventions that are being made by the department to try and get this resolved. And the minister at a ministerial level and deputy minister are dealing with the matter up to the level of the ministers due to the problems we are facing in this particular situation of the infrastructure and the dependency we have on DPWI. And then in Nyokeni Cultural Precinct, there were delays in this project. As we all know, Honorable Chairperson, that this project is being implemented by the KZN. We're providing funding. Again, this was because there had been dismal failures by DPWI, the agent, to implement this project, which had attracted a lot of negativity. So we had to sign an MOA with KZN DAC to make sure that it gets implemented as we provide funding to them. So these projects are still incomplete. Number of provincial resistance and liberation heritage routes, also a target was 3, and only 2 provincial resistance and liberation heritage routes have been developed and managed. And that is the Mama Winnie Madikizela Mandela in Brandfort, which is no longer Brandfort now, because it has been renamed after Mama Winnie Madikizela Mandela. And then, of course, the O.R. Tambo Memorial Site at a practical completion. The Nelson Mandela House in Pan, the prisoner house site, was not developed, but feasibility study has been completed now. This then is intended to be done and completely be implemented this financial year. COVID-19 and relief applications from athletes and coaches to be processed 100% of them, and this was done, as we have always provided reports then on the beneficiaries of the COVID-19 relief fund by the department. Program 3, Arts and Culture Promotion and Development. This is the heartbeat of what we need to do to support the creative. It covers issues of language, national language services. It covers issues of cultural and creative industries development, international cooperation, social cohesion and nation building, and the golden economy. So this program delivery of planned outputs and indicators was severely impacted by COVID-19 due to the issues of restrictions on travel. As when we talk of international cooperation, we do have what we call cultural seasons and touring ventures that should be taking place, but that could not be done due to the lockdown. But also, if we look at the need for social distancing, when you have to have festivals that are taking place, it was extremely difficult for them to take place or not to take place at all, and creative ways that to be found to still have some of them taking happening or being held. So the theaters and the performing arts institutions just could not function when there was a lockdown. Also, the lengthy duration of school closure had its own impact. And then this resulted also then in not having artists in schools being in place, and to reduce this target by almost 70%. There were budget reductions and the review and reprioritizations, as we also had to look at this program to see how much we can get to provide for relief, while also Treasury had no mercy on us in terms of budget cuts during this year to reprioritize and cover for COVID in the country, because it was an unpredictable thing. So, Honorable Chairperson, I will move directly then to the targets without going. So let's go to slide 29. And then we see there that the number of multi-year human language technology projects supported 2, and 2 was achieved. ACPD 2, or this talks to translated and edited documents, 100%. That is 100% is 216, and all of it was done. and then the number of bursaries awarded. In this quarter, we do not report on this because there were no bursaries to issue. It is at the beginning of the end of the new of the financial year, as well as the beginning of the school calendar year. And then if we look at the number of local and international market access platforms, target was four. Four was did take place. And then the 10, we achieved 10 out of 14 in terms of number of capacity building fund projects financially supported. Two capacity projects were partially financially supported, and the other two were not supported at all. So we're engaging with those who needed to submit outstanding information, and the other two will then be implemented in this financial year. Then the provincial arts community development programs, and 9 were targeted and 9 were delivered. We had then international engagements. One was planned and one was delivered, and that is the South African Canada Annual Consultative Forum on the 25th of March, 2021. And then the number of moral regeneration projects, 5 of them, but the 5 following general moral regeneration projects were financially supported, but only 2 were then able to be implemented at the time end of this quarter, and that is the youth dialogue as well as the MRM month, which had happened in July. But the following projects could not be then implemented: the youth month ethical leadership project, as well as the charter of positive values. The ACPD 9 is talking to the community conversations. Target was 4 and 4 was done. Youth forecast arts programs, 3 were targeted and 3 were done. Then 5 were targeted in terms of the advocacy for social cohesion by advocates. And then 10 advocacy platforms were held. Then, of course, then the overarching social compact monitoring report was not developed. And this is because the compact itself still needs to be properly to be finalized. It, there is a work under review here. And then we should be able to talk about monitoring reports and be able to indicate how are we performing against the expectations of the social compact. And then we had a number of gender-based violence, femicide, financially supported. One gender-based violence and femicide bomb was financially supported, but there were other 3 that were planned, and they were not fully implemented. And one of those was the project for the boys with a view to try and deal with issues of socialization of boys before they become men on the issues of gender-based violence and femicide. We had 10 targets for the project on creative industry supported, and 11 were supported. The additional project came due to the relaxation of COVID-19 during this quarter. Then the number of artists placed in schools, as we indicated, the COVID-19 had its impact, and we could not place artists during this quarter. And the target was 100, and 0 was placed in schools. And then we've got a number of reports produced by SACO, and that is the research arm of the department, and they did exactly that, and they produced them. Program 4, we indicated honorable chairperson, that is heritage promotion and preservation, and all targets were achieved. And then we're looking here, number of books documenting living human treasures published. This is a project that is extremely important for intergenerational knowledge that must be passed from one generation to another by those who are the experts in the field, and notably that these are people who do not even have gone to school to be trained, but we believe that let them decode the information they have and how they went about to do their craft and to establish their repertoires, and we then document 2 per year. And then we produced those books, and 2 were done. And 1 was for Ubaba and Kwako Enoch Mabika on the issue of carving out his own way. And then Mama Beauty Mongo, who was dealing with weaving and the beads. And that is what the book is about, weaving wisdom into art. And those books are now available. They can now become a content for training young people into the future. Then the monumental flag installed. We had planned to have feasibility study report on the monument flag, and this has been done. And we've got that feasibility study completed and available. And then the repatriation and restitution of human remains and heritage objects policy developed. This has been done. And then we've got a number of records digitized. The target was 56 was done. Newly built modular libraries, 12 were planned to be done, and the 12 of these were financially supported as planned. I will ask that the CFO, I think CFO, Spongile, can you please take us through the financials?
Thank you, DG. Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and members of the Portfolio Committee and colleagues. As DG has said, my name is Bongile Mondile. I'm the acting CFO. The presentation of the expenditure report is at the end of 31st March. It's got an executive summary, the departmental summary of budget versus expenditure per program and economic classification, budget and expenditure per program and economic classification. The executive summary, the spending, overall spending, as at the 31st of March 2021, we had an amount of 5.2 billion, which amounts to 97.5%, against the final appropriation of 5.3 billion. Compared to the spending at the same period in the last financial year, an expenditure of 5.5 billion was spent or was incurred, which amounts to about 95.6%. There was an increase of 1.9 in the current year, mainly attributed to the installation of hardware and software license for backup storage for National Archives and Sitaba Building, as well as the settlement of the DPW invoices for Sarah Batman Center of Remembrance Infrastructure Project. On the compensation of employees, we had a budget of 380.3 million. We had spent 333.8 million. Which amounts to 87.8% of the budget. Comparing with the prior year, same period, we had spent an amount of 346.9 million, which was equivalent to 91.5%. There has been a decrease of about 3.7% on our COE due to the merger that we all know about. Now we've got one minister, one DM, and one DG. And at the time, the critical posts were advertised, however, some were still vacant as the process of recruitment was put on hold due to the lockdown. Goods and services, we had a budget of 483.6 million. We had spent 462.5 million. That equates to 95.6% of our budget. Comparing to the same year in the prior year, where we had an expenditure of 90.2%, which was 591.9 million. There was a little increase of about 5.4% due to the increase on one line item that we have picked up, which is more on the spending of data and airtime due to the working at home due to the lockdown or as a result of the lockdown restrictions and the payment of the state-owned accruals that we had in the previous year. Departmental agencies and accounts, current. We had spent about 99.5%, which is 2.1 billion against the 2.1 billion and the spending pattern is the same as in the previous financial year, with a little decrease of over just 0.1%. Under the capital on departmental agencies and accounts, we had a spending of 106 million against the budget of 109.3 million. And the pattern also is still in line with the previous financial year with a decrease of just under 1%. Provinces and municipalities category, we had a spending of 1.5 billion, which is 100% of the budget, where in this line we're paying for the community library grant and the mass participation conditional grant. Compared to the previous financial year also, we had 100% spending. The next slide, higher education and institutions. Current, we had 100% spending. And also in the line of capital higher education institutions, we did not have any expenditure in the current year. In the previous financial year, there was an allocation of 4.4 million for Chief Jali infrastructure project, which was administered by University of Fort Hare, and could not, that amount or that allocation could not be transferred as the university did not submit the revised project proposal in line with the approved funds by the department. Foreign government and international organizations, the expenditure in this line item was 5.2 million, which is 88.1%, against the final budget or final appropriation of 5.9 million. Comparing to the same period last year, where we had spent about 4.3 million, which was 86.6%, here we've got an increase of about 1.5%. The increase in the expenditure had happened because we had to reclassify the allocation of the AUSC subscription, and also there was additional amount for financial support that was requested or that was paid to the region, which had suffered a revenue loss resulting to the postponement of the youth games due to the pandemic. The next slide, please. NPIs, that is non-profit institutions, current and CAPEX. On current, the expenditure was 420 million, which is 93.3% of the budget as compared to the expenditure in the previous year, which was 92%. This has been, there was an increment or a decrease, sorry, of about 1%, and the expenditure is in line with the prior year. The capital of the NPIs, we had a budget of 25.8 million. We had spent an amount of 24.5 million, which totals to 95.2%. When comparing to the expenditure of the previous year of 43%, sorry, an amount of 5.7 million was spent, there is an increase of about 52.2%. In the prior year, funding for the community arts centers was dictated by provincial government as they had to identify the beneficiaries. Over the years, there was an under expenditure due to the lack of necessary compliance documents from the identified beneficiaries. To mitigate this, the department had resolved to fund a business plan per province for the community arts centers. As a result, there was no transfer to the until the finalization of the approved business plan process has been done. Other machinery and equipment, we had a final appropriation of 11.4. We had spent 11 million, which is 96.8%. As compared to the previous financial year, an amount of 4.6 million was incurred, which was 55.3%. The increase in this line item of 41.5% was due to the installation of hardware and software licenses to backup for the backup storage at National Archives and Sitaba Building, and the increase of procurement of laptops by use of officials, as some of us has to work from home due to the lockdown restrictions. The heritage assets, there was an expenditure of 83.3 out of the budget of 92.4, comparing to the last financial year, where there was an expenditure of 39.6, where it was at 34.2%. There is an increase in this line item of about 55.9. Here we had settled the invoice of Sarah Batman, and also there were invoices that were held back in the previous financial year, as the department required some confirmation from DPW. So there were no payments that were made the new contractor for the work performed by the previous contractor in order to avoid fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Software and other intangible assets. In this line item, we had a budget of 155,000, and it was spent in total 100% compared to the same period last year, where an expenditure of 3.3 million was incurred. The expenditure of the prior year related to the payment that was made to CETA for the department for the development of the GMS and for the implementation of the phase two of the National Automated Archival NARS project. Lastly, last but not least, payments for financial assets. We had an expenditure of 14,000 incurred in this financial year, on the budget of 14,000, which is 100% spending in that line item. When we're comparing to the previous financial year, where the expenditure was about 482,000, this expenditure relates to the damages and losses. So the members can note that there has been a reduction in that line item as there was not much traveling in the current year due to the lockdowns that we're in. The next slide would be the departmental expenditure per program. And here we're comparing, we're showing how was the spending per program. Program one, we ended up spending 98.3%. When you're comparing column two and column three, where the column two is the final budget for the current year, column three is the expenditure thereof. So program one, we had spent 485.2%, 0.2 million, sorry, versus the budget of the 493.5. Program two, which is recreation, development and sport promotion, we had a budget of 1 billion. We had spent 982.7, which translates to 93.1%. ACPD, we had a budget of 1.5 billion. We had spent 1.5 billion, which translates to 97.7%. HPP program four, we had a budget of 2.1 billion and we had spent 2.1 billion and which translates to 99.2%. In the department in total, we had a budget of 5.3 billion. We had spent 5.1 billion, which translated to 97.5%. The next slide, it will be the departmental spending per economic classification, where we're trying to show the members that how was the spending on the line items like compensation of employees, goods and services, transfers and the likes. In the current payments where COE and goods and services are, we had spent in total 796.2 million against the budget of 863.9, which translate on average for both COE and goods and services to 92.2%. On the items where we've got different transfers and subsidies, we had a total budget of 4.3 billion and we had spent 4.2 billion, which translates to 98.7%. The next slide, can we move to slide 54, where now we're showing how the per program we had spent. This is per economic classification, program one, where COE and compensation of employees, we had a total budget of 473.3 million. We had spent, 481.1. We had spent 473.3, which translates on average for those two categories or economic classification, is 98.4. Transfers and subsidies. For program one, we had spent 930,000 against the budget of 1 billion, which translates to 90.2%. Payment for capital assets, we had a budget of 11.4. We had spent 11 million. In total, in program one, we had spent 98.3% of the budget that was allocated to program one. Program two, recreational development and sports development, we had a total budget of 1 billion. We had spent 982.7 million. When we go per economic classification, we can see that for their current payments, where it's COE, compensation of employees, goods and services, they spent about 68.3% of the budget. Transfers and subsidies, they have spent 96.4% of that budget. And payment for capital assets, they spent 90.1% of that budget, which in average from that budget, we had spent 93.1%. Program three, arts, cultural promotion and development, we had a total budget of approximately 1.6 billion. We had spent 97.7% of that budget, which was 1.5 billion. And per economic classification, in that program, we can see that on average, for current payments were in COEN goods and services. They spent 94% of that budget. Transfers and subsidies under this program, they spent 98.2%. Then payment for financial assets, we hope spent 100%. Program 4, which is our last program, Heritage Promotion and Preservation, we had a total budget of 2.1 and we had spent again 2.1, which translates to 99.2%. Per economic classification, COE and goods and services, they spent 82.9% of the budget that was allocated there. Transfers and subsidies, they spent almost 100%, which was 99.9%. This comes to the end of the presentation of the expenditure versus the budget for the fourth quarter ended in the 31st of March. Thank you, DG, and the honorable members.
Honorable members, honorable DM, and now we come to an end of our briefing. Honorable members, can we take questions, clarifications, and suggestions? Thank you. Honorable members, what's going on? Honorable members?
We can hear you, Chair.
Oh.
Yes.
I'm listening to the members. They're just quiet, which means we must just
can hear you,
on.
They are raising their hands, Chair. Maybe you're not seeing them.
I've seen Honorable... Take this something in the screen out. Thank you, Honorable. Yes, that's it now. I do see it. Honorable Mhlongo, Honorable Malomane, Honorable Joseph, Honorable Veronica, Honorable Adam, in that order.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Chair. So I welcome the presentation. I just have two questions, Chair, as part of our recommendation now and then on this quarterly report. How far are they, or we're going to discuss it, if I'm not mistaken, in the debate in section two, but how far are they with our recommendation? One of the recommendation, one of the issues that we raise is how many vacancies which are not felt, for example, on senior management and other levels, and when are they going to advertise those positions? Or if they have done that, which newspapers, if they've done that, that they've advertised those posts? I think I'm concerned especially on those two issues that I'm raising for now. But Chair, we welcome the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Mhlongo. The next honorable member.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Let me also welcome the presentation. Morning to members, morning to DM, DG, our staff, and everyone that is present in this portfolio committee. Chair, what I want to ask is that in the introduction, on slide 5, it is noted that due to COVID, they're further reducing the budget allocated to activities of the department. I just want to find out which activities that they were. Is it the activities that they never managed to achieve that were affected, and then their budget maybe was restructured to other activities? I just want to find out more. And the other thing that I want to find out is the issue of the Federation under the issue of transformation. I'm very, very jealous on this issue that we need to make sure that transformation is done and is 100% done. Because there is one Federation that didn't get the 50%. I just want to know which is the Federation, what are the reasons that they've made them not to achieve the 50%, and is there any intervention that has been done by the department on that one of transformation, because we want to make sure that in South Africa, where we live in it, it is a multiracial South Africa. Everyone has a right to amasports, and everyone must be, it must be equal when it comes to the issue of transformation. The transformation when it comes to sports, because we are facing challenges each and every time on television. You can see on news that there are issues when it comes to issue of transformation in the issue of sports. The other issue that I want to speak about is the one that Honorable Mhlonga has spoke about, the issue of the adverts. I can see that there is still an acting CFO, while on the report that they've sent us under our recommendation or the request, they said there was a challenge. I don't know whether it's still the challenge not finalized in the issue of the advert, because the others, they've responded that they've advertised and then they've hired on the others. But in this one of the acting CFO, it still not has been done. So I just want to find out what are the challenges and how many are they still vacant, the vacancy rate or versus their staff establishment. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Malomane. On that note, Honorable Members, I've forgotten, and it's very important, out of 2020 and 2021, now the Bafana did yesterday win against Ghana. It's a very big omission. The next Honorable Member is Honorable Veronica van Dijk.
Thank you, Chair. That's wonderful news. Thank you also for the presentation. My question is the following. On Program 2, it mentions underspending amounting to 187.6 million due to capital transfers to public entities, which will not be paid to as some entities, the infrastructure plans did not meet the requirements of the department's infrastructure policy. Can the department provide us with a list of these entities that were affected? And we also need to understand whether there is sufficient human resource capacity within the department to support these entities with developing infrastructure plans that comply with the infrastructure policies. And also what the implications of towards service delivery is for not transferring these funds. Then I also want to know why the Nelson Mandela House site in Nepal was not developed as planned. The second last question, have the 10 newly built children's play parks been handed over to the communities? And then also, has any sport infrastructure been built in any schools within historically disadvantaged areas over the 2020-21 financial year? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Fandek. The next Honorable Member is Honorable Adams.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, all. Let me also welcome the presentation of the department. Honorable Chairperson, on Program 1, slide 16, in the presentation of the department about interns appointed to cover different sections within the department, how effective the interns have been. There seem to be critical vacant posts. Have any officials been acting in these posts? In relating to critical vacancies, can the department report on progress made? Comrade Chairperson, in the historical disadvantaged areas over 2020 and 2021 financial year, has any sport infrastructure been built in any schools? And Program 3, slide 33, can the department provide further insight into why the one program relating to addressing GBV and femicide was not achieved by the end of the fourth quarter. And program four, all planned targets for the fourth quarter for this program was achieved. We must commend the department for that. My last question, Chairperson, the challenges presented by the COVID-19 pandemic, what plans are in place? For example, do all officials working from home and have adequate tools of trade, etc.? Sorry, the last one, Comrade Chairperson. 35 municipalities were provided with technical and management support. Can the department supply the committee with a list of these municipalities and also the 10 community gyms and children's park, play parks? I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Adams, Honorable Sondi.
Thank you, Chair. I think honorable members have covered. May we welcome the report, Chair. Three things quickly. The first one, Chair, when you were discussing the quarterly report, one thing that comes out, in fact, the fourth quarterly report, are the reasons why the targets were not achieved. I think in Togo Mnyango, I was listening very attentively because they are the indication on how your expenditure is affected. But I'm covered, Chair, the reasons why they were not achieved. The second one, Chair, is the issue of the infrastructure development, the expenditure on the infrastructure development. Chair, I'm happy because we have a concern that we can have under expenditure on those areas because they affect our communities. The last one, Chair. Then Segala, acting CFO, in the presentation, the indication of 87% on the compensation of employees. Ina Ipendulo, which she is acting, and the compensation of employees expenditure. Is not above 90% is under indicators. But Chair, saying you're using an ambuzo, abashan shaba ubuzilu umshonish malumane no joman. Gifisugo ubuza gajemin uchi, is it part of the vacancies that in the 87% as a result of the 87% on the compensation of the employees? Not above 90%. Is it because of the vacancies that are there, or there are the other areas? Again, so anga gashela po, usifo umangabe a chaza chair. But the overall expenditure on the fourth quarter, Chair, I'm satisfied. Angazangi is a budget in anywhere in the world. Lag look on 100% under normal circumstances. I'm not talking about where there is COVID, but a cousin Jagwenze, Magwenze, Jaruksunge, Ksunge Bonabantula. But seriously, in the last Saluti, each and every area, expenditure being a puzzle 197%, because it has been sana a performance. Abantu basuke bekhona ngaleso sikhathi. I-performance yomuntu kanye ne-program osukuyibekile yosuku, the annual program, ama-projections wakhona ahambisana. So that is why isihlalo ngithi ngiyavumelana abahlonishwa ukuthi in fact, I'm satisfied angasho ukuthi akugubi ngoba ayikho into embi la. ayike disaster i disaster in terms of expenditure uqala ukuyibona lapha mangabe i expenditure ingaphansi kwa 70% ila usuku ubona khona ukuthi kuye wena but if many areas or many part of our projections are above 90% which means and they're committee we fourth court which means i department iqhuba kahle kakhulu ngiyabonga hlala
thank you honorable Zondi, honorable members, there is an item in our agenda where if you did propose to me that it must be tabled, update by the department on the recommendation of the quarterly reports, because there are questions related to that. Let me give the department to answer the questions. I thank you so much.
Yes, we will take the allocate accordingly.
Okay, thank you, DM.
No, thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and thank you, Deputy Minister. I will share the responses with my colleagues. And the request that maybe the issue of the post we've got DDG administration to Chikotamba will be able to then respond. Let me just allocate and ask the colleagues, and then on the issues of sports and federation and transformation, I will come to it, but just allow DDG responsible for that particular program to respond. As well as the issues, most of the questions, in fact, are located there, as well as with HR. I will then cover some in relation to this CFO, if there is any gap. But in particular, Mokshonipa, Kipele O, TDG Chikwadamba, Asiwal Chira, TDG Chikwadam.
Thanks, DG. Good morning to the portfolio committee members and chairperson of the committee.
DG, sorry, before the members call you out, please show your face, and then you can switch off
the video. Okay. I hope my face is showing now.
Yes, with a nice look. Okay.
Yes, thank you, ma'am. I'll close off the video now to stabilize my network. In terms of the vacancies, we have been doing our best to fill the vacancies. Just to give statistics on what we have been doing in the period we are reporting on. As of August, maybe let me start it from the August to August to this year, from August last year. In August 2020, we advertised 25 positions. Of those positions to date, we have filled 16 positions, and four of them had to be re-advertised. And then five of them are in a final stage now of being filled. And then again, in February, we've advertised 32 positions. Of those, only one had to go to re-advertisement, and seven or so of those positions now have been filled, and 24 of them are currently in the later stages of approval, or at least interviews are taking place. And then we had to take a break of some kind because we were trying to balance things with our compensation of employees' budget, because we could see that there is a pressure point in that area. So we started again in this financial year in August, In the month of August, we have advertised 11 positions. And of course, because it's still in the month of August, they have just recently closed and we are busy capturing. If I take from where we started with a vacancy rate of about 20%, which is very high. And with what I have reported now, we are working towards a target that we say we can tolerate at least within the pressure points that we have budget-wise of about 10%. So the numbers that I've given to the committee will take us to a vacancy rate of about 10%. And we are doing our best to make sure that in this, not later than the third quarter, all the positions that have been advertised now in August, they are also filled, if not just the last stages of approvals, especially for SMS members that sometimes they take a little longer to fill. So that is the breakdown, and that is the target as well that we are working towards. There was also a question on interns. Yes, we have 30 interns in the department. The program for the interns is well managed. The interns, they have their mentors. So we are reporting accordingly. Here and there, yes, we do rotate the interns just to make sure we enrich their knowledge of things within the department. For the lower level positions, we always encourage our interns to apply. I don't have specifics in terms of our absorption rate at the moment, but we never forget to encourage our interns to apply, and certainly their program is monitored. As I say, they have mentors and the reporting takes place. I hope I have fully covered the question.
Thank you, Mandisa.
Thanks, ma'am.
DJ. DJ.
Yes, DJ. Honorable Chairperson. Yes, Honorable Chairperson. Yeah, Honorable Chairperson. Just to add on the issue of the post, just to indicate to the honorable members that the chief audit of the executive officer who only resigned recently, and that post then has just become vacant, and he just gave us a 24-hour notice to say he's resigning. So he just left, and that senior management, there's a director post that is vacant. And then the issue of the CDIR, Chief Director IR, there was a long case taking place there in terms of issues of financial mismanagement and corruption. And then she has been dismissed only recently in, I think the matters were in finals in June. And then, however, she has challenged the matter. So we are still then going through those process of arbitration. And then the CFO position, we didn't want to fill this post. Currently, we've got an anomaly that the post of the CFO is at a level of a chief director. And it's a real abysmal situation if you look at the complexity of the department, worse with the fact that it has been merged and its mandate and scope expanded. So we delayed here because we wanted to approach, we approached the DPSA requesting that this post be upgraded to a level of a DDG so that we can then strengthen the critical areas below it as we manage the budget of the department and dealing with so many entities. Unfortunately, after long and prolonged engagement with DPSA, they then turned down that request, which means we are now forced to we had to then advertise this post, which we have, but at a level of a chief director which we still don't believe will benefit the department much in this regard. But the reasons given, among others, were that if we advertise, if they approve the upgrade of the post, it will result then in the other post levels being raised, and that will then eat into the increase of the budget of the state, and that this cannot be afforded. So we are now have advertised the scientists for the service provider to deal with the new structure of the department and advise us. And once that analysis is done on having a structure fit for purpose, we should be able, maybe at that time, with the scientific outcome of analysis of the whole department and its mandate, with the new with the service provider who is an expert in organizational design and development, we should be able maybe to go back to DPSA. However, for now, we've decided then that we rather continue to advertise the post of the CFO. We agree with honorable members. It is a crucial post. In fact, it is just clear that without this post being filled, we will continue to struggle. Although the current acting CFO is doing the best she can, but we need this post to be filled. And then on the issue of the entities management, there we had the director, but the director got appointed as a director in another capacity in the department, and therefore then that post became vacant, and we are then in pursuit of filling it. The language is a chief director. Yes, there was a he retired, and after retirement we then had to first look at the chief directors in the department, and we had to place a chief director internally first, and then be able to then look at whether there is a need to advertise any other post. So that post has been filled then through internal placement in the department. So those are the senior management posts and the processes that we had to go through, chairperson, that I thought I must share with the honorable members on where we are around that. Can I then ask for program two? Or there were questions about which newspapers in this were advertised, as well as the government e-portal. Can you just respond to that, DG, before we
Before that, DG, if you can talk about all the vacancies, unless you are giving someone to do that, because you talk about 2 to 3. But if you remember in your presentation and questions from all members, they are asking about vacancies, not only 3, which now you reflected, unless those who are coming giving a further explanation.
Yes, the person, the DDG will talk to that. I was just giving the ones of senior management.
About
senior management.
Okay, DG. Thank you, DG.
Can I then ask, maybe then the last senior management, two senior management posts in HPP, SMS, those posts are in the process, the one for library. We're looking at how we can deal with it internally, although it is advertised. And then the other one of the archives is being currently, the interviews have been conducted to make sure that that post gets advertised, gets filled, Jefferson, on senior management post. So those are the ones I can add. If there is any addition, DDG Chikwatamba, on the news of the newspapers, as well as any other area of post where you can edit, and you can then do so for the members to have a sense of the overall situation there.
Thank you.
Starting with the way we are advertising,
who's that DG who's speaking?
Same DG Chikwatamba.
Okay. Go on.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Going back to the question about where we are advertising, we have for senior management position, we advertise in our weekend newspapers, the Sunday Times, City Press, as well as the public service circular. And then for non-SMS members, we advertise on the public service circular, but we are also using our website to advertise our positions. Without giving a narration on each post, I think I'll just look at the senior management positions just to indicate areas in which we have the vacancies. I hope that will suffice by just referring to the titles where we have the vacant positions. We have a chief director, a vacant position in the National Language Service area. A director position, actually this one has just been filled. It's still fresh in my mind. I remember it. I think last week we completed the process, which is community sport development. A director as well in sports support and federation coordination. A director in athletes, coach and technical officiating services, which means it's the sports area. And then we have a director in infrastructure planning, a director in active nation, a director in library policy and coordination, as well as a director in employee relations, health and wellness, a director in National Archives Services, a director for strategic committees, a chief financial officer that DG had already elaborated on, a chief director in international relations, a chief director in human resource management. This one is a fairly new vacancy after the passing on of our chief director that had joined the department last year, and 2 months ago she left us. And then a director in management accounting, a director in human language technologies, a director arts social development. Actually everything that I'm mentioning now from the chief financial officer, those adverts have been closed. So that's where I'm saying now we are in the actual selection stage. Chief Director, Human Resource Management, I mentioned that, Management Accounting, Director, Human Language Technologies, Director, Arts and Social Development, Director, Visual and Design Arts, Director in Entities Oversight and Interface, and director in internal audit. I may as well indicate that as I could spot one of them that I could remember very vividly, that last Friday or so I signed something that says that one we have completed. So all these posts are the posts that I said they are now in their final stages of selection. As I said, everything has been closed now for application of these positions I have mentioned. I've just focused on the senior management position. And then there was a question on whether there are people acting against these positions. Yes, chairperson and members of the committee, especially for chief directors and directors, even to manage our administration and compliance requirements, for signing off of documentation by delegated officials. So we do have acting people against these positions.
Thank you.
I've covered.
Yes. Can I ask that DDG come?
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, Deputy Minister.
The Deputy Minister has reminded us that we must show our faces first and then proceed.
Sorry. Okay. Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, Deputy Minister, DG, honourable members. With regard to the questions around program two, to respond to Honorable Malumane's question around the activities under the federations under transformation, which federations did not achieve 50%. There were two federations, Madam Chair, it was gymnastics and rowing. Madam Chair, we must also remember that the report that we tabled in the year 2020-2021 is the report of the data that we collected for year 2019. So our data is always retrospective. So this year when we present, when the report is released, it will tell us about the performance of the sports federations in the year before. So if we're talking about fourth quarter of 2020, then we're talking about the statistics or the reports of 2019. So in 2019, there were two federations, rowing and gymnastics, that did not receive 50%. Subsequent to the report being released, Madam Chair, the Minister had an interaction with every federation, all of the 19 federations, well, 19 except the three. In fact, the three who did not even submit the reports, there was an interaction with them as well. And they then had to come up, the EPG then had asked them for a plan of action as well. But going forward, Madam Chair, for this financial year, as soon as the report is released, which is imminent at any time now because the report is ready, we have now withheld, we've not issued or we've not finalized the transfer payments to the federations. So we're going to be looking at the transformation report. We're going to look at the outcomes of it and the performance of each of those 19 federations. And we're going to do our conditional in our grant transfer payments to the federations. Our funding framework talks about conditional and also allocated guaranteed funding. Our guaranteed funding is normally around the administration, but conditional funding is linked to the transformation charter. So this time we're going to look at the issues that are coming out of each of the 19 federations' reports, and we're going to put in conditions that are aligned to this report. So that is how we're addressing it. Madam Chair, you would also know that the only 19 federations are part of the EPG process. So we're looking at now increasing as well in terms of the transformation. Then the issue of the infrastructure. Yes, the infrastructure, I think we're all aware that, you know, with the heritage infrastructure that falls within Program 2, there have been delays. Historically, these are multi-year projects. There have been delays in delivering on that, and there are various challenges that we can attest to in terms of, and especially the two projects that we are reporting on in quarter four, if we look at those projects, those projects are the Sarah Bartman project, and the other one is Enyokeni in the cultural precincts. The Sarah Bartman project, we have addressed the issue of the delays through budget reprioritization to ensure that, you know, payments of invoices and the mediation process that were the challenges that came up through the projects. Have been instituted to deal with the dispute. With the Enyokeni cultural precinct, there were restrictions during the lockdown, and that project, and as with the regulations, the building works, all building works across the board, were curtailed, and we couldn't do anything. So that also meant that the projects were delayed. But when the restrictions were relaxed, the KZN, this project is delivered with the province, with the KZN Department of Public Works. They revised the project progress report and the plan so that we could deliver on that. So we are now looking at delivering that project in this financial year and thereby addressing those delays as well. The question of the school's infrastructure, with the school's infrastructure and how and whether we've now the infrastructure in schools. We actually, not the custodians infrastructure in school as a department, it's actually the Department of Basic Education. But Madam Chair, we have an intervention. We build multi-purpose sports courts. But with our limited funding in the last year, our target is normally 10 multi-purpose sports courts. But with regard to schools itself, there were 8 multi-purpose sports courts that were built in schools. All of them have been in previously disadvantaged schools. Yes, there were 2 or 3 in the metro, but even in the metro, in the metros, in terms of local government, those were still in previously disadvantaged schools. And we have also started to roll out in 2021 schools, multi-purpose sports in schools as well. Madam Chair, there was a request for us to provide the list of the 35 municipalities that we have monitored. Yes, Madam Chair, you must, with regard to the infrastructure and the monitoring of the infrastructure, it is linked to the MIG funding. We get funding from MIG that we, the allocated funding. So when the allocation goes to the municipalities, we have to do, our role is to monitor that the money is spent for the intended purposes, and we monitor the progress on the completion of those facilities. So we do have a list of those 35 municipalities that we can provide to the portfolio committee. Madam Chair, I'm hoping that I've responded to all of the questions that have been posed to the department. Thanks. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, TTC. TTC.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I believe that we have covered the key questions that have been raised, unless I have missed any other. Because on federations, Honorable Chairperson, we have given that explanation. What I would request, Chairperson, at some point, is an opportunity to present on the issue of transformation, the EPG report to the portfolio committee, because it outlines all the issues and challenges in detail, that report about transformation targets and which federations have met them, where are the gaps in the sport fraternity in relation to federation and the sport transformation. So I think here we won't be able to do justice in that context unless we have at some point an opportunity to present that full report on APG, Eminent Persons Group report on transformation of the sport in the country.
But, thank you.
Okay. I hope that was answered. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, DG. I'm suspecting as the committee, we're going to prioritize that, as you are seeing that there are many things which are happening, seeing them in the space of the media, this problem of one of cricket South Africa, it's always coming up, always coming up. We're thinking that today we're going to talk to ourselves, saying that can't we prioritize that, because it is out there. But unfortunately, even the adopted program, we're not having chance to call you department until November, and it was emphasized in the meeting of yesterday, where we are not sitting, that any committee except those who now, as from today, the application won't be accepted. So that's why I was saying that when I'm opening, surely all the leaders are being given that information, because each and everybody does sit in the programming. But so far, thank you, DG. Honorable members, can we get...
Yes, it's with the Deputy Minister.
Oh.
Before you give the members, I just wanted to check with my officials. For instance, I didn't hear them responding to the question of Honorable Member Veronica on the issue of the Mandela House in Paarl. What has been the problem in not developing it? I don't know, maybe I missed that, if they can come to that question. And also there was a question that was raised by, I can't remember, but I think it was Honorable Adams, DG, about the effectiveness of the interns. And maybe we should just respond to that. Thanks, Chair. I wanted that just to remind the team about those questions that they raised. Thank you so much.
Thank you, DG. I was still going to go back when I was saying, now, Honorable Members, these are responses. Are there any follow-ups? And as now, even the outstanding question that we are feeling that they are not yet responded. Honorable Members, thank you, DM. DG?
Can I ask Mr. Ndema to on the Mandela House, and then if we can also just, Honorable Chairperson, there was also a question on COVID-19. What are the measures in place that we have not responded to? And then on the GPV project, target not achieved. And can I just ask Mr. Ndema on the issue of Mandela House?
Thank you, DG. Good morning to the Honorable Chairperson and members of the committee. Good morning to the Deputy Minister. Yes, just to say that with the Mandela House, which is in Drakenstein, the Victor Verster, you would recall that this used to be a prison house. So for it to become a heritage site, we had to undergo what is called the feasibility study, so that we are able to see how now it can be run as a heritage site. That feasibility study has happened. One of the things that we have done is to ensure that there is security around the site. We are already discussing with the Izigo museums in Cape Town to see how they can serve as caretaker currently in terms of operationalizing the site. But we are now in the process of ensuring that the site is operational. Thank you very much.
Thank you, DDG. But next time, DG and DDGs, you need not to be reminded as members asking the questions. We are writing down all of us in order that you must chip in before you are reminded that there are questions who are outstanding. Thank you, DDG. DG?
COVID-19 measures.
Thanks, DG, and thanks, Slalo, and members. It's Mandisa again coming back. The question was on COVID-19 and staff, whether they are working from home or they do have tools of trade. Since the beginning of COVID, we have embarked on an exercise of an analysis to look at staff members that can do work remotely, and therefore we prioritized those by making sure that they are given, if they were not a portable a computer, that is laptop users before, we bought a laptop to make sure that they are adequately provided with tools of trade as well as data. We updated our contracts as well to make sure that we have sufficient data We worked on a program where we have a wholesale data bank in our agreement with Vodacom. That wholesale data bank for data, it enables us to monitor the usage of data. So if there are officials that have been allocated data, but they are not using much data as we thought they would need, we are able to transfer data from one official to another. So we have that system that we put in place. As well, providing others where we did an analysis and we feel here we don't need to provide just a router with data and the computer. We may as well provide a cell phone. We've done that analysis. And then for other non-critical services, we are also adding a plan whereby there is some kind of staff rotation. Staff rotation works at two levels. The first one is on a daily plan where we cascade the presence of our officials in the office. For example, would have officials that would come in at 8:30 and then they leave round about 1. Then we have officials that would leave, that would arrive 10 or 11. They leave the workplace at different hours. There we are managing the numbers inside the building in terms of our staff members. And then the second level is where we are doing on a number of days presence at work, a rotation plan whereby at least those non-critical staff members, they are able to come to office at least 2 or 3 days a week. However, where there is a need, even if we had thought initially this is not a critical service, we can afford to have this person working at home, even writing reports and stuff, and if not adequately provided with resources in terms of tools of trade, the days the person spend at work, there will be enough for that person to cover the best of what can be done, especially during the peak seasons of COVID. Then there is a monitoring plan that is recording per branch the management of those rotational days of officials coming to work. We are further guided in this by circulars that come from the DPSA. Every time there is an adjustment on COVID restriction and levels, DPSA gives us guidance and guidelines. But in all that, it would be a guidance in terms of, as an example, maybe we have to manage staff presence at the building, working at 50% capacity, etc. So those guidelines, they just greatly give us capacity levels in which we must have in our building as a percentage of our total staff that normally occupies the building. And then
I'm reminded by our staff that now we are behind times, and whatever outstanding questions, you must just brief to the point, because you were reminded you didn't take up those questions, and then now we're not doing well with our time. Please brief to the point when you're responding. I thank you, DDG.
Thanks, ma'am. Then the last one, very brief one, is on the gender GBV femicide program where we did not make the target. I think it was just a delay in the conceptualization of the program. However, the program conceptualization was what deferred, carried over to the following year, and around May, that program was in place. Thanks.
This question is not enough. In May, in place, and then from May, what happened?
Sorry, ma'am. Maybe I just became too brief now. As I was saying, this program it's now in place. It's a project for boys where there will be some conversations with young men on issues of GBV. So the program now is already ready for implementation.
Thank you. Next outstanding question, targets, effectiveness of your intense DG, now your crew is not doing well. They want you to remind them, but the questions are with them. I don't know what's going on.
To come back on the intents, earlier on I did touch on it, explaining that we have 30 intents, and these intents are under a program that is managed by the mentors that they have. I mentioned that the intents are in a program where in other instances we put them in a rotational schedule for them to make sure that they don't do the same thing.
The question the question was that if you have mentors intents, are you sure that you needed intents, which is, to me, it's a very a good project to have intents, but they were asking what about those people who are giving them the mentors? So I'm suspecting that you need to give us the briefing that indeed intents are needed, especially this lack of work generally, that intents, they are able one time to be absorbed, in order that we must look at the scarcity of work generally national. So if we just respond on that.
Okay. If I can use some statistics, for the last cohort of interns we've had, 5% of those interns, they did not complete the program. And reason why they did not complete the program is because they were appointed elsewhere. For us, when our interns apply and get appointed, that indicates something that says they have received some training in our environment, because some of the things that we do, we also give them an induction program, taking them as an example to the National School of Government, where they get inducted in the public service induction program, which trains them on how government operates, on how government departments operate. Even as we coach them in terms of how they may conduct themselves during interviews. Sometimes we give them managers, entry level managers, as part of the mentorship program or coaching program, where they would be shadowing certain activities for them to know how things are done. When we have critical mass areas where we need additional hands, we always think about our interns in the context of exposing them, making sure that, especially for potential entry positions for which they could in the future apply for, we make sure that they get that exposure. In a nutshell, ma'am, that is a program. It's a program that says be ready for an interview. It's a program that says understand government and how government machinery works. It's a program that says understand the specific task and acquire
the control. That is fine, DDG. But the question was just effectiveness of the program and how we measure that. Yes. And then I think we have answered it, Honorable Chairperson, that the output is usually whether those have gained the skills, have they been able to then get opportunities elsewhere, And that is what we are saying as one of the key areas, but also that they get then multi-skilled and they assist as we have a lot of unemployed young people out there, but we've got vacancies in the department. And with those vacancies, they're able to help us also then accomplish the tasks that otherwise wouldn't be able to, because the main issue is government wants them to experience the world of work. And that is what we believe it's able to achieve through the interns.
Yes, targets not achieved.
Yes, targets not achieved, Honorable Chairperson. I did go through each of them and explaining the reasons against them. If we look at that, and on page 33, that was the response on gender-based violence and suicide targets not achieved and why. And we have indicated there and explained, Chairperson. Others, we have indicated the 0% in schools, the placement of artists as due to challenges of COVID, and schools at the time decided to focus on the issue of their core curriculum, and we could not place the artists at the time that we had intended to. So we have explained those rationale. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, DJ. Honorable members, let's pass to the update by the department on the recommendation of the quarterly reports. We're on that item now. DJ, I'm sorry, DM.
Thank you so much, Chair. Thank you so much to the members for those questions that are interrogating the report. Because the important thing to us is to make sure that we give the information as it is to the members of the portfolio committee so that the members are able to understand how the department functions and how is it executing its duty. So that at the end of the day, members of the portfolio committee, when they are doing their oversight and they are able to assist and advise the department, they do that with information that they've been given at their disposal. So I just want to appreciate the questions that have been raised, and to also say to the officials led by the DDG, thank you so much for those responses, which are very open, to make sure that at the end of the day, we don't want to hide any information. The important thing is that the interaction between ourselves and the members of the portfolio committee must be such that it is at the end of the day to the benefit of the people of South Africa. Thank you so much, Chair, for this opportunity.
Thank you, DM.
Honorable Chairperson, there is an item on the first quarter report. Do we jump that one? It was fourth and first quarter report.
Don't jump it, DG. You don't.
Okay. Can I then request, Ms. Ndima, can you just lead us on the first quarter report, and then we will proceed with the rest. Thanks very much, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you. The administration were already indicated that we must go to that first quarter. Thank you, DJ. Thank you, Zoleka.
Thank you. Thank you very much, DJ. Once again, thank you to the Deputy Minister. Thank you to the Chairperson and the honorable members. I will take the committee through the first quarter report. I'll try to be as quick as I can. If we can go to slide two, just give the presentation outline, which I'm not going to spend time on. And slide three talks about the purpose, of course, which is to share the first quarter performance with the portfolio committee. Also to account as required by law, but of course to enable the committee to provide oversight on the work of the department and its entities. Now, slide four then talks about the introduction, and it highlights that as a Department of Sport, Arts and Culture, together with our delivery agents as well as provinces, Our work largely centers on social cohesion, nation building, which is about encouraging people to come together from different walks of life to share common spaces. But of course, we do highlight that our work has been adversely affected by the pandemic, which has militated against that coming together. And of course, we do indicate that the provision of products and culture infrastructure is dependent on unrestricted movement and low levels of infection in areas where construction sites are located. And we also do indicate that the programs such as mass participation, as well as sport development grant and transfer to sport and recreation bodies, more particularly mass participation, has also adversely affected by the pandemic. If we look at slide 4B, it continues to talk about the fact that some of the work that we do, it requires mass convening of people, for instance, the events that we do. But we had to change the way of doing things. Currently, events that the department is doing are done through virtual or in hybrid format, which is physical and virtual platforms. So this first quarter report or performance report, it provides progress made during the period starting from the 1st of April 2021 to 30 June 2021. Now, the slide 6 would provide just an overview, a performance overview, which says we achieved 80% of our targets, and of course we did not achieve 20% of those targets. And then slide 7, it then indicates which targets were not achieved. For instance, number of learners participating at the DC school sport tournaments, number of athletes supported by the sports academies, social compact or social cohesion and nation building, number of community conversation dialogues implemented to foster social interaction. Now we move from there to then have a diagrammatic representation of different branches in the department where it indicates how each has performed. Then we move now to program 1, which is administration, which clearly indicates what it does, which is provision of strategic leadership, management, and support services to the department, and all those sub-programs that fall under it. Then moving to the next slide, it then begins to talk about specific targets, for instance, percentage of interns enrolled against funded posts, which is not for reporting, and then number of services, modernized, but also it's not for reporting, and then the number of sport awareness, sport and arts culture awareness campaigns activated to profile the work of the department, it clearly indicates that that has been achieved. We had set the target of 3, and that was able to be done, and it's broken down in terms of Freedom Month, Africa Month, and Youth Month. And then percentage of invoices paid within 30 days, also there, that has been achieved. And then if you look at percentage of 100% councils, boards, that are fully constituted, that also is achieved. Then it takes me straight to program.
You don't have any presentation that you can put on the screen? You're talking from where?
I had requested that they, I'm using my own presentation, but I thought that my colleague who is managing the presentation is assisting me with working with me as I, because that's why I'm even saying slide so and so, I'm talking to this item. Ludwig, where are you?
Now we've been in this committee.
What I could do, Chair, if I could be allowed to use to share, let me try and do that, because I had thought that that's what, like for now, it says host disabled participants can share. So I thought that was doing the way it was done the first one. Now I don't see my colleague or any colleague can enable me to then share the screen, because currently I'm blocked to share the screen.
I'm suspecting you, DDG, and the staff that are driving these presentations, they know that when the leader is presenting, we need to look at the screen, but go on and then talk where you are now.
I apologize, Chairperson. I really apologize for that.
No problem.
I had to go out and find the person who was sharing. She has now loaded it.
No Thanks. Problem. Let's go on leadership.
Apologies once again myself. And then I'm in slide 12. I was talking to slide 12,
okay.
Where I was talking about the board, the constitution of the board. You can see it is green, which means achieved. I was chairperson moving to program 2, recreation, development and sport promotion. Now, I am now in slide 14, where there is a description of what this program is all about, which is about the provision of mass participation opportunities, the development of elite athletes, and the regulation and maintenance of facilities. And there are a number of programs that fall under this one, which is winning nation, active nation, sport support, and infrastructure support. Now, going specifically now to the next slide, which begins to talk about specific targets. For instance, number of athletes supported through the scientific support program a year. It is not for reporting. Then the number of athletes supported by the sports academies for the first quarter, it was supposed to be 500, but it was not achieved. The reported figure, because there is a report there that indicates that there was a figure of 1,996. However, the figure could not be corroborated by adequate and complete evidence at the time of reporting. So that's the reason why. And then, of course, we're looking at the corrective action and follow up with provinces to submit the complete and accurate reports, because there is that interdependency or dependence on provincial reports. Then the next item, the next target is number of people actively participating in organized sports and active recreation events. Here the first quarter target was 30,000, and indeed, Chairperson, we were able to achieve that. 70,338 people actively participating in sports and recreation promotion campaigns and events. Then the number of sport and recreation promotion campaigns and events implemented. There was one in terms of the target, and that was achieved. Then the second two targets, number of schools, hubs and clubs provided with equipment and attires and established norms and standards. That was not for reporting. Also, number of learners in the National School Sport Championship per year. That was not for reporting. And then the next one is the number of learners participating at the district school sport tournaments. Here, the target was 10,000. We could not achieve this, Honorable Chairperson. And the reason being, and as you can see the number that is put there, we were only able to achieve 5,292. And this, the results are well stated, that the suspension of conduct and non-conduct sports in schools to keep the spread of COVID-19 impacted negatively on the implementation of these indicators. Continuing with program 2, slide 18, percentage of federations meeting, or percentage of federations meeting 50% or more of all prescribed charter transformation targets. It's not for reporting. Number of municipalities provided with technical or management support during construction. We had set the target 50 for the current quarter, and we were able to achieve that. And then we go into a number of communities, outdoor gyms and children's play parks constructed. That's also not what reporting in this particular quarter. And then I proceed to number of heritage legacy facilities, including resistance and liberation education sites, developed or maintained to transform the national heritage landscape, not for reporting. And then I move, Chairperson, to program three, which is arts and culture promotion and development. The slide 21, it then begins to talk about what's the purpose of this particular program. This program exists to promote and develop arts, culture, languages, and implement the national social cohesion strategy. And of course, there are sub-programs like the National Language Services, which is about the promotion of multilingualism, which is about the development of language terminologies, as well as human language technologies, translation, as well as editing services. Cultural and creative industries, this is a very important program in terms of supporting cultural and creative industries by developing strategies. And then international cooperation, this one assists us in building continental and international relations for the promotion and development of South African sport, arts and culture, as well as our heritage. Social cohesion and nation building, this implements national social cohesion strategy and brings targeted groups in arts, culture and heritage, including arts and culture in schools, into the mainstream. That's called an economy. This one seeks to create economy and job opportunities in the arts, culture, and heritage sector. The department also transfers funds to the National Film and Video Foundation, of course, in support of the development of skills and local content and marketing South Africa's film, audiovisual, and digital media industry. Now, going straight to the targets, which is slide 22, talking about the number of multi-year human language technology projects supported, which was not for reporting, percentage of documents received that are translated and edited. Yes, this was achieved. Number of bursaries awarded for the development of qualified language practitioners. This also was not for reporting. And then number of local and international market access platforms financially reported. It was also not for reporting. And I proceed to slide 23. Number of capacity building projects financially supported. It was also not for reporting. Number of provincial community arts development programs implemented per year. Not also for reporting. But I come to this one now. Number of international engagements for coordinators. We have achieved this one. 6 cultural engagements were coordinated. So we surpassed it by 1. 4 out of 5 planned international engagements were implemented. And then we go to number of oral regeneration movement projects financially supported. This was also achieved, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. And then number of community conversations, dialogues held to foster social interaction. We were only able to do 3 instead of 5. And the result, the reasons are that the implementation was hindered by the COVID-19 restrictions. Then I moved to number of youth-focused arts development programs. Also, this is not for reporting. Number of advocacy platforms on social cohesion by social cohesion advocates. We were supposed to do 5 and were able to do 5. A social compact for social cohesion and nation building. This was supposed to be 1, but we could not achieve. And the reasons are the finalization of the social compact for social cohesion and nation building has been delayed. While en route for the minister's signature, a suggestion was made that the matter needs to serve at the executive management meeting. And then the number of monitoring reports on the implementation of the social compact for social cohesion and nation building, not for reporting. Number of gender-based violence and femicide programs financially supported, not for reporting. But I know, Honorable Chairperson, that there's a lot of work that has been done by these students. And I'm sure that when the time of reporting comes, they will be able to report comprehensively. Then coming to the number of projects in the creative industry supported through the Nancy College
economy program. We're supposed to do 10, and we have been able to do 10. And then the targets that I'm going to talk to also are not for reporting. Number of artists placed in schools per year, number of reports produced by SACO, number of films and documentaries supported telling stories of the history of liberation, cultural and heritage importance. I move, Chairperson, to Program 4, Heritage Promotion and Preservation. And then slide 30, I begin to talk about what this particular program stands for. This program stands for the preservation and promotion of South Africa's heritage, including archival and heraldic heritage. Also oversee the transfer of funds to libraries. And there are various sub-programs, which is the heritage promotion, responsible for the transformation of the heritage landscape through the conceptualization, equipping and operationalization of legacy projects. Of course, looking also at conceptualization of resistance and liberation heritage. The Bureau of Heraldry sits within this program, and it registers symbols, popularizes national symbols through public awareness campaigns, conceptualizes, coordinates the National Orders Award Ceremony, and of course develop policies and legislation that has to do with heritage. National Archives Services, this is our reservoir of knowledge. It acquires, preserves, manages, and makes accessible records with enduring value. And of course, public library services that is there to ensure that we promote the culture of reading and writing. The South African Geographical Names Council sits or is hosted by this unit, which is about the transformation of our memory landscape. And then going straight to the targets, number of students awarded with heritage bursaries, that's not for reporting. Number of books documenting living human treasures published, not for reporting also in this quarter. Number of public awareness activations on I Am the Flair campaign, we're supposed to do 6, but we've been able to do 13 public awareness activations. The reason for this deviation, of course, deviation to the positive, is that the unit leveraged on the internal and external partnerships to do more activations, taking advantage of the open opportunity during the lower levels of lockdown. Number of flags provided to schools, our target was 30. We were able to just get back 30 flags. Number of heritage policies developed, 2 draft policies developed, that's not for reporting. Number of workshops hosted to advance knowledge of national symbols. Here we had put the target of 2, but we were able to exceed that, was achieved. And the reason for this overachievement is that the unit partnered with the NYDA and the youth in the department, and the youth unit in the department to facilitate the workshops, leveraging on planned activities of the young patriots. Number of heritage and legacy projects with exhibition content developed. This is not for reporting. Number of progress reports on resistance and liberation institute sites, not for reporting. And number of records digitized. Here we're supposed to digitize 25 child decals and 20 TRC audio tapes. And we were able to achieve this, as you can see on our chairperson, that we were able to do 96 prison trial data tests, and we were also able to do 26 TRC audio tapes digitized. And the reason for this deviation also to the positive is that the target for quarter one for digitizing both the prison trial and the TRC audio tapes was exceeded because of the PSP intents deployed at the National Film, Video, and Sound Archives. And the number of newly built or modular libraries supported financially per year. Here we were able to achieve this. 29 newly built or modular libraries were financially supported, and the amount is stated there. And then the number of gazette notices on standardized geographical names published, no reporting required. Chairperson, I would want to step out and then allow through you, the CFO to then proceed with the financial performance report. Thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Chair. CFO.
Thank you, Chairperson. I am not sure if my video is showing. The presentation before us. The presentation before us is for the spending in the department as at the end of the first quarter, which ended the 30th of June. The report is for an executive summary, departmental summary of budget versus expenditure per program and per committee classification. And lastly, it will be budget versus expenditure per program and economic summary slide. As at the end of June, the expenditure was at 18%, was at 22%, against which is an amount of 1.1 billion against the appropriated budget or adjusted appropriation of 4.7 billion compared to the spending in the prior year, where an expenditure of 1.2 was incurred. There's a decrease of about 8.6% in the expenditure and is mainly attributed to the cancellation of events, which has also continued in the first quarter due to the result of the national lockdown that had happened. Compensation of employees, we had an adjusted appropriation of 397.8 million. We had spent as at the 30th of June, 82.9 million, which is 21% of the budget. And this again, we had a decrease when comparing to the previous year in the same period. And again, as a result of the measure, our spending had decreased. Again, in goods and services, as at the end of the quarter under reporting, we had spent 21%. Of the adjusted appropriation of 482.1 million, we had only spent 100.4 million. Comparing to the same period last year, the spending where it was 133.1, there's a decrease of about 24.6%. This is still due to the COVID that has also happened, due COVID lockdown declaration happened in the first quarter. The next slide, it would be the departmental agencies and accounts. Current, we had a spending of about 25% in rand value, 407.2 million, against the budget of 1.6 billion. The expenditure here, it has increased by about 4.1 due to the nominal growth on the subsidies to the entities when comparing to the prior year. The capital thereof of departmental agencies and accounts, there was no spending at this time of reporting. The budget there is 134.5 million. The expenditure in comparing with the previous year, it was also still at nil at that time. Next slide, please. Provinces and municipalities, the expenditure is at 25%. Rand value is 392.2 million against a budget of 1.5 billion. Relating to the transfers to community libraries and mass participation conditional grant. Comparing to the same year last year or same period last year, when amount of 41.9 million was incurred as an expenditure, it resulted in a decrease of about 7%. This is due to transfers to provinces made on the business plan that are submitted by provinces. Higher education institutions transfer, current and CAPEX. The current, the spending is at 23% against the budget of 6.8 million compared to the same period last year where we had spent only 2 million, resulting in a decline of about 22.8% in expenditure. This is a result of the human language technology project based on their project plans. The capital budget, there is no expenditure on higher education institutions in the first quarter when comparing to the previous quarter of where we had a spending of about 4.3 million for chiefly a capital work project. And foreign government and international organizations, we had spent about 40% of the budget, where the budget is 5.3 million. The spending was in rand really 2.1 million. There was no expenditure in the current year when you're comparing to the previous financial year. Public corps and private enterprises current, the expenditure is at 36%, which is 17.1 million, against the budget of 48 million. Comparing to the same period last year, where an expenditure of 51.7 million was incurred, we've got about a decline of 7%. This was due to events which were scheduled to take place in the first quarter, but were cancelled due to the declaration of COVID lockdown. Therefore, the funds could not be transferred to qualifying MGE open call beneficiaries. And also there were budget cuts that were effected to respond to the COVID-19. Next slide, please. Public corps and private enterprises kept. There's no expenditure at the end of June. When we're comparing, there's a budget of 582,000. When comparing to the prior year, also there was no expenditure, as the transfers there are based on project plans, so there was nothing scheduled for the first quarter. Households, we've got an expenditure of 8 million in the current year, as at June, against the budget of 21.8 million. Comparing to the same period in the previous financial year, where there was an expenditure of 8 million that was incurred, we see a decline of about 11.3. This is due to events that were also cancelled, and also funds could not be transferred to the qualifying year open call, and there were also budget cuts to cover for the COVID-19 response. Non-profit institutions, the expenditure in this line item is at 14% in rand value, is 51.2 million against the budget of 359.7 million. Comparing to the same period last year, we had spent 64.5 million. This results in a decline of about 20.6%. Here is the reason for the decline. COVID-19 lockdown, it has affected us, and funds could not be transferred to the MGE open call beneficiaries, and also there were budget cuts. In the capital on NPIs, we have a budget of 4.4 million. We had spent 1.3 million, which translates to 30%. And this, in the same period last year, we had not had any payments. Other machinery and equipment, we have a budget of 11.5 million. We had only spent 491,000, which is about 4% of that budget. Comparing to the same year in the previous year, or same period in the previous year, where we had spent 1 million, there's about a decline of 52.9 as a result of the procurement that were made in the first quarter last year. Heritage assets, there is no expenditure incurred. We've got a budget of 130.1 million. In comparison to the prior year same period, we had an expenditure of 23.1 that was incurred, where we had paid accruals of the invoices in relation to DPW, or the Sarah Batman invoice, and also the accruals that were paid in the first quarter. The next slide will be budget per program. Oh, sorry, I skipped. Sorry, you can go back. You can go back to the software and intangible assets. Pardon me, Chairperson and DG. There was no spending on software and intangible assets in the current first quarter as compared to last year. The expenditure in last year, it was the payments that were made to CETA for the development of the GMS system, and also for the implementation of the phase two of the NAPS project. Payment for financial assets, we have expended 8,000 versus a new budget. Here we don't budget for the payment of financial assets. We move money or we shift money during our adjustments. But in the prior year, the expenditure that we had recorded, or we are recording here, is for the damages on the rented
Yes.
Thank you. We can move to slide 61, where is this is the expenditure per program. And here we're comparing the expenditure for the prior year. We have a budget for program one of 929. Sorry, we have the budget of 449.3 and the expenditure is 119 for program one, which translates to 27%. Program two, the spending there is at 165.5, which translates to 15%. The spending in program three against their budget, we had spent 25%. Spending in program four, we had spent 24%, which the total spending in the department as at the end of June, we are at 22%, which in rand value is 1,064,511,000. Thank you. And this is the next slide, slide 63. Expenditure per economic classification, as said in the previous presentation, where we're showing members as the budget that has been allocated in the different economic classification under current payments. We've got COE, which is compensation of employees and goods and services. Under current payments, we had spent about 21% when comparing rent to rent value. This slide is comparing the 2019 June versus the 2020 June. So where we're comparing the rent to rent expenditure. And also for transfers and subsidies, we had spent on average, I'm not gonna go to line by line, Chairperson, of the transfers and subsidies, about 24% of the budget has been spent there. Next slide, please. Payments for capital assets, we had not made any movement or the percentage translates as 0%, but there is only 491,000 that has been spent in the June 2020 as compared to the 25.6 million that was spent in June 2019. Payment for financial assets, as said in the current year, we had only spent 8,000. In the previous financial year, we had not spent anything on that line item. In the total line, it's showing that we are at 22%. The following slides that will be coming through, it will be the spending per economic classification, per program. Program one is administration, where COE and goods and services, we spend about 27% of the budget. In that line item, which the budget is 437.7 million, the spending is 819 million. The spending for transfers and subsidies, there is no movement yet there. That is the payment that we need to do to pay CATSITA, which we usually do in the last quarter. Spending for payment for capital assets, there is only 491,000 that has been spent, which translates to 4%. Then in total, program one has spent 27% of its budget. Program two, the total budget in this program is 1.1 billion when we're rounding off, 1.1 billion. They had spent as at the end of June, 165.5 million, which translates to 15% per Chairperson?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, okay.
Yes, I didn't say anything.
Yes.
Okay. In program two, COE and goods and services on average was spent 8%. Transfers and subsidies in this program, they had transferred about 152.5 million, which is about 19% of the total budget. There was no spending for the payment for capital assets. On average, the program is closing at 15%. Of their budget being spent. Program three, as culture and promotion and development, they have a total budget of 1 billion. We had spent 268.8 million as at the end of June, which translates to 25% of the budget. When we go in pay economic classification, both COE and goods and services, they spent 19% of their budget, which was about 34.6. Transfers and subsidies, they have spent 234.1 million, which translates to 26%. On average, it's 25%. Program 4, which is HPP, they had spent in total about 24% of the budget, again, of the expenditure against the budget of 2.1 billion. Their spending is sitting as 510.4 million. Per economic classification, they've spent 16% of their budget on COE and goods and services. Transfers and subsidies, they have spent about 24% of that budget. Thank you, Chairperson and DJ.
Thank you, DJ. Thank you, DJ. DJ. Oh. Honorable member.
Thank you. Okay,
DJ.
No, we are done, Honorable yes. Chairperson. We will take
thank
questions.
You, DJ. Yeah. Honorable members. Now is
Chair.
Yes,
before you.
Yes,
before you allow the members to ask questions, can I take my leave now?
No leave. I'm not approving.
No leave.
I don't approve that leave.
You don't approve. Please.
Thank you so much.
And all the best.
Let's thank you, DM, as we are going to present the nation where we are going, especially this department of ours. Go well. Our condolences. We are trusting you that you will present us accordingly. Thank you so much, DM.
Thank you so much. Thank you. All the best.
Kuhle nonzabumhle. Honorable members. Now we are releasing our deputy minister as she's going to take a very important task on behalf of the country and of the committee. Can I now give you time to interact with the presentation? I thank you. Honorable Adams. I don't see any other head. Honorable Veronica. In that order, I will call others if they will raise their hands, later. I don't know who's now talking.
Chairperson, can you hear me?
A moment, please. There's someone who's opening.
Chairperson, can you hear me?
Please wait. Administrators, please assist me. There's somebody who's talking behind.
Please lower your radio.
Driver. Who's that? Who is having a radio?
Your radio.
Who's that?
Chairperson.
I'm not having a radio. I'm hearing that there's somebody who has that radio.
But I'm sure I think it's Miss Adams' background.
Yes, I'm in the bus, Chairperson.
You can't talk about our things in the bus. You must forfeit that. No, you are in the public. You cannot expose our deliberation in the bus. My apology, honorable member. Please, SMS your questions. I'll forward with due respect. We can't do that. My apology. SMS your questions. Honorable Veronica.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you also.
You must not be listened. You must mute Honorable Adams because we're hearing, which means we are not muted. please, we don't want to be listened in the bus. I know that you're supposed to be in the plenary, but mute.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the presentation. My question...
Just a moment. Anyone that can assist us? Yes. Now, thank you so much, Honorable Veronica. I'm sorry about this because honorable members are supposed to go in the house and then being a member who's very responsible, who wanted to take part, but we cannot do that because this is a committee meeting, not public hearing.
Okay.
If now we are listened by everyone in the bus, it can't be correct. But I'll ask Uzoleka that she must write the questions. I will forward the questions to the department. Go on, Honorable Van Dijk. I'm sorry.
No, Chairperson, that's fine. My question relates to previously I've put in a written question regarding the sport academies and the department submitted to Parliament in June 2021 that but a list of sport academies. But there's no evidence that shows that most of the places that were mentioned are actually sport academies, without the exception of the schools and high performance centers. So some of the academies that were listed are saying there's no formal agreement in place with the department. So my question is, how does the department classify an organization as a sport academy? And how do they account to the department for the funds provided? And I also need to know, are academies on the list with no formal agreement with the department getting any funding? And if so, would that not be an audit query? And I also want to know who monitors these academies and how have they been monitored in the past? Then another question that I want to ask is, with regarding the funding of the Olympics, we know that there was a problem when our athletes came back that they didn't receive, that there was rumors that they won't receive money for the the successful winners of medals. So my question is, does the department with SASCOC have a four-year strategic plan and funding model building up to the next Olympic Games in 2024? Yeah, I think that's my questions for now. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Adams. I mean, Honorable Veronica. I don't see any other hand, but I wanted to have a right on your last question of funding of athletics who went to Olympics. I wanted to ask the department, once upon a time, whilst I was chairperson in this committee, we were having a problem of the attire of the team South Africa. It was all over the show. People and the South Africans were complaining about the attire, that tracksuits that they were wearing. But now I wanted to check with the department, because now we're not going to have any meetings where we can ask direct to SASCOC, but as our department, I wanted to check that what is that the department is expecting when our South Africans taking the trip to the athletic or to Olympics? Are we not supposed to wear our colors as South Africa? When I was looking at the opening, all the countries, if it was then when I was still
called myself Trans Guy. We were having each Bantu stand. We were wearing our own colors when we opening the games. I was looking at the our team, South Africa. They were wearing shorts. They were wearing khaki shoes. And I'm not sure whether there is any a code of conduct or the way that when we are out, we must show our own country's flags or attire. And some of us were thinking that we will be having a chance to ask those questions, but you are the relevant department that you can explain to us why our South African athletes were clumsy like that. But when it comes to now, to those who are still there, most of the time they are wearing our own colors. What is it? There's no code of dress when you are presenting your state. Thank you so much.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. And thank you to the honorable members for the questions. Maybe on the Sport Academy and the list of June from Honorable Van Dijk, I will ask CDG Kant to take that question as well as the issue of funding. I think we can just assure honorable members that working with NLC, which is National Lottery Commission, that matter is under control. A minister will be announcing when the rewards will be provided and the rewards function very, very soon, because this week all the athletes are returning, as we saw some of them yesterday. So we just needed that. But at the latest, between now and by end of next week, we should be knowing and having these awards. But I think the minister will pronounce on the dates and all the related logistics, and they will be handsomely rewarded as per the pronouncement by the minister, even of the values, as per the medal, whether it is gold, silver, or bronze. And that will include the rewards for the coaches and who were then training these athletes as a sign and a token of appreciation by this country for what they have done, these athletes. But I think the question about then the planning ahead is something that we will do. We do fund, I think we can give the figures for preparation of Olympics. We do fund SASCOC for that. And it was very clear that money was reinvested for Olympics only. But maybe the question is then for us to go back and fix the issue of including the incentives. How should this be covered from the beginning? But as a department, there are excellence awards where we have ministerial awards for excellence, where also the athletes are recognized. But for Olympics in particular, we are collaborating and working with the NLC, and as per the announcement of the minister, that there will be those. The only thing I can commit is that the planned event for the ceremony is that it's going to happen between now and by end of next week. We should be having a clear logistical arrangements, minister will pronounce. But a team has been formed between SASCOC's department as well as an NLC to prepare for the event itself. But minister was very clear, minister, that means Mr. Mthethwa, that as soon as all athletes are here, there mustn't be a waiting period for them, not knowing when are they getting their incentives. And that is why the intention is to then do this within by end of next week.
we are hoping we'll be able to achieve. Now, the issue of the uniform, Honorable Chairperson, I fully agree with you and the honorable members. The expectation as we look at all our teams, and it's a pattern throughout the world, that they will be dressed in the colors of their country and their flag. We can just say that the minister had a very urgent meeting with SASCOC president, as well as the SASCOC CEO and ourselves. We agreed that we will review, there will be a full review once the Paralympics are over. And in that way, we should be able to provide some of the critical answers on what happened and then what should be fixed and how that should be fixed once we have had a thorough review of